on the last line on Ayin Amud Beis. Still trying to figure out all the details of how the Omer works, what the Omer does. We take a detour to Yericho today. No one's going to discuss exactly who gave them a heter for building up and living in Yericho. They're just going to be people living in Yericho. But before we can get to Yericho, we still have to know. Don't know. But there's actually a discussion about that, whether you're allowed to build up some other area, like Jericho, New York, and call it Yericho, whether even that's allowed. No word on whether Jericho in English is the equivalent of Yericho in Hebrew. But Amar le Rabbi Elazar le Rabbi Yoshia de Dare. Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, Rashi explains, because we have Rabbi Yoshia who's a Tana, and this is not, because Rabbi Elazar is having a conversation with him. So Rashi explains, Rabbi Yoshia de Dare Shahaya Bedoro. He was in his generation, who Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo here is used not in the literal sense, but in the sense of a person of his time. As opposed to Megillah in that Gemara, I think it's Moed Katan, where it talks about there being a more intimate connection between people who are Ben Gil, they're born under the same mazel. That's regarding Bikur Cholim. Yeah. Here it just means contemporary. La Fuki Rav Yoshia Gadol Shayatana, as opposed to Rav Yoshia Gadol the Tana. That's not who we're talking about. So Rav Elazar says to Rav Yoshia the Amora, Lo Tesev Akarech Ademafreshes Li Lahamaz Nisin. He says, don't sit down until you explain the following Mishnah to me. I need you to teach me this. Minayin laomer shamatir bahashrasha. Specifically, the question is, how do you know that the Omer actually permits use of new grain that has already taken root? In other words, how do you know that this is the standard? To which he says, Minalan? What do you mean? How do you know? The pasuk says aviv, that this is talking about the Omer itself. Aviv kalui boesh geres karmel. I brought you there the section of it on your sheet. So the Omer is supposed to be aviv lav mechlal the ika lav de lav aviv. That must mean that there is other grain that is not aviv and that will be permitted by the Omer. Rashi says kashari lay Omer, that the Omer is going to permit the. In other words, there's other grain that you can't use for the Omer, but that will become permitted once you have brought the Omer. So the standard is based on aviv. So doesn't that mean? Doesn't that mean that it's Misha Hishrish, other stuff that has already taken root, to which the Gemara says, you know, there are other markers, other milestones along the growth of plants. It isn't just Aviv, which we take to mean fresh and springy. There are other steps along the way between taking root and reaching the stage of growth that is Aviv. The Gemara says, the Bach throws in the word Vidilma, we're on the fourth line in Aleph Amud Aleph, Vidilma de lav Aviv ulo'olam da'ayel shlish. Maybe the standard is that which is not Aviv, but has reached a third of its growth. Ella Amar Shmuel Mehachel Chermesh. So he says, you're right, it's from a different pasuk. The pasuk says Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, from the time when the sickle starts on the standing grain. So at the start of the sickle, Lav Mechlal Deika De Lav Bar Chermesh. So the Omer is from the time of the sickle. Therefore, the Omer will permit that which is not yet cuttable by a sickle, that which has not yet grown that far, which is less than a shlish. Right, so that was Rashi's point, that it's excluding things which don't qualify for the Omer, but they would still be permitted by the Omer. There's something that is not yet Omer material, but would still become permitted. So he says, La mechladika de la bar chermesh. There's stuff that's not yet ready for the sickle, but will be permitted with the Omer. To which he says, again, the Bach throws in Vidilma. Vidilma de la bar chermesh ulolam shachas, but you still have a stage that's before bar chermesh, which is the stage when you could cut it for, literally for destruction. We usually assume this is animal fodder, although we'll find out on Amud Beis it doesn't have to be. But maybe it's something that is at fodder stage. Rather, Ella Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak gives me a third approach. Kama, the Torah says, Me'achel chamesh ba'kama. When the sickle starts on the standing grain, la mechla de la ba'kama. So there is something that is not at the kama stage, which is the taking root stage, and that's what becomes permitted. To which again, the Bach throws in the word vidilma. This is his third time. Vidilma de la ba'kama ula olam agam. Maybe that's not the standard. Maybe kama is not the standard. Maybe agam is the standard. standard. Rashi explains what agam means. Shegodla me'at. It's grown a little bit. Lachuf rosho b'tzad ha'ikar. It's long enough that you can bend the head of the growth over and it'll reach the base. Remember they discussed that regarding the haircut of the melech, right? The haircut of the melech is that each hair is cut in such a way that it's long enough that it would curve over to meet the base. So he uses that same term here, and he gives you the origin of the word agam for that. Kemo halachov kagmon rosho, right? The haftarah on Yom Kippur in Yeshaya. Does Hashem want you to bend over your head like an agmon? Agmon, I think, is a reed that grows in an agam. So the idea here is that maybe that's what's permitted by the Omer, if the growth is that great, but not if it's simply taken root. Ela Omar Rava, so Rava gives me a fourth and final approach. The Pasuk says, Hazera Asher Tizra, the grain you will plant, not regarding the Omer, but regarding Shavuos. Misha'as Ziriyah, so that which has already been seeded, that which has already been planted. So planted, it doesn't mean there's a seed sticking in the ground. Planted means it took root. It's already a plant. That's the idea. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava. So Papa says to Rava, Ihachi, if that's really so, then Afagav de lo ish rishnami. Maybe it's even before that. Amar le Sodani. Basadeksiv. So he calls him Sodani. We'll come back to that in a second, but for now we'll just say that means Tana Chacham. Basadeksiv, no, because the Pasuk also says Basadeh in the field. It has to be a part of the field. As I wrote on your sheet, it's at Asher Tizra, and it's also Basadeh. It can't just be a seed. What does he mean when he calls him Sodani? So Rashi gives you the standard two explanations. He says either Tamir Chachamim Al Shem Sod Hashem Li Re'av, right? Those who know the secrets of Hashem, or Lishnachrina Rav Papa Rami Shichra Hava. We know that Rav Papa was a beer maker. Kedamina B'Psachim, like Gemara B'Psachim says, he loved Ramoi Shichra Loi Asri. Had I not made beer, I wouldn't have become wealthy. Good guidance. The Sodani Mikri, and that beer maker is called Sodani Kedamina Hasam, like the Gemara there says. Rashi's edition is different from our edition there, but it's pretty close in the Gemara there that he's quoting. He says, Tamri Be'uchlazach Abes Sudna Rahit. The edition we have is Tamra Bachaluzach Lebes Sudna Rahit. But either way, what it means is if you have dates in your vessel, the vessel that they use to hold the dates, run immediately to the place where they make beer. That's the line. So Bei Sudna is the place of the beer maker. So Dani is the one who makes the beer. Amai Karule Sudna. Why is he called Sudna? Sodna Eh, because he has a pretty secret, the secret of beer making. Shema Hasheres, because it causes wealth, Ugvilas Chasadim, and then kindness, because he can now give this to others. He can give the money he makes to other people, or maybe it's the kindest people do once they've had a couple of beers. I don't know. But either way, Sadani is a nickname that's used, not just here, but in general for Rav Papa. Okay, so we have four different explanations for how we know that the Omer works to permit that which has already taken root, and that brings us to the key discussion we've hinted at several times already in our parak about harvesting before the Omer. We are going to define two different procedures within harvesting. One is kitsira, when you cut the grain, and the other is gedisha, when you pile up the grain after it's already been cut down. We're also going to discuss different stages of cutting, different reasons for cutting, and we get into a messy machlokes tanaim on the second side that's going to take up the bulk of our time. Okay, Mishnah says, Kotzin beis hashlachin sheba'amakim aval lo gochin. You can cut the beis hashlachin, the area which receives its rain, by irrigation. That's in an amek, that's in a valley, aval lo gochin, but you aren't allowed to pile it up. You are allowed to cut it even before the Omer. Why am I allowed to cut it? So Rashi here, as well as back on Samaches, offers the following explanations. Take a look at Rashi. Mipnei shemafsidim maher. Because they go bad quickly, number one, that which grows in the irrigated area. The out and further, dira'os hain, they are inferior. Ve'ein b'em iser b'ktzira, and therefore there is no iser in cutting them down. The Gemara is going to make it very clear that there's an additional factor here which we care about, the fact that you're not allowed to bring the omer from there. Tosus back on Samaches said it's kasher b'di'evet. But it's really, based on the Gemara, it seems that the right answer is because you can't use it for the Omer. And Rashi actually back on Samaches said, yeah, that's really the right answer. It's not about hefsid as much as the fact that this isn't qualified for use for the Omer, therefore we don't mind if you cut it beforehand. No one mentions the issue of Shema Yevol Ochlam, but that would be the potential issur theoretically. Either that, or he'll say it's because you're doing it before the Omer, because you'll see in the Gemara a pasuk that teaches me how that you're not supposed to do things before the Omer. So you're allowed to cut it. You're not allowed to pile it up. Yeah.
Oh, you're not allowed to pile it up.
Correct. Lo gochin. Anshei Yericho, back in the Mishnah, Anshei Yericho kotsvin biritzon chachamim. The people of Yericho did cut it, and the chachamim were okay with that. The Gemara is going to revisit that and ask how okay the chachamim were. The gochin, they would also pile it up, shelo biritzon chachamim, and that was not to the chachamim's satisfaction. Velo michu biyadam, but the chachamim did not put up hashkevilin on the walls. They did not protest when the piling was done. The Gemara, again, is going to discuss this in terms of what the stance of the Chacham actually was. But first, we continue to discuss heterim for cutting. Kotzer l'shachas u'machil l'behema. You're allowed to cut at the shachas stage and feed it to your animals. That's the Tanakhama. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says emasai. When is this true? Remember that when Rabbi Yehuda says emasai, he's agreeing with the one who came before him. He's just clarifying. When is this true? Bizman shemasil ad shlohevi shlish. If you begin before it has reached one third of its growth, that's when you start the cutting process, then you're okay. And it's clear you're cutting it for animals. Then you can continue to cut it even after it reaches one third. Rabbi Shim. Yes, before the Omer. This is all before the Omer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yiktzor v'yachil af mishehevi shlish. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can cut it and give it to the animals even after it has already reached shlish, after it has reached one third of its growth. If you see the table at the bottom of your sheet, the table is going to be important on Amud Beis, but you see the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in case that's numbered in number two. The case of feeding it to animals. I numbered it number two because of the way it's going to be brought on Amud Beis, but it's really the first source we see in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not called an act of harvesting, and therefore you're allowed to cut it, assuming you start when it's less than one third grown. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says it's never called an act of harvesting, and therefore you're allowed to do it before the Omer. We continue in the Mishnah with other heterim for cutting before we come back to this topic. The codes from Ipnei Netios, you're allowed to cut it also because of growth, because of other plants. Rashi explains two explanations. Either because there are other plants and you're worried about damaging the other plants, and after all, you're not using this for the Omer anyway.
That's a form of pruning, right?
No, because it's concerned for damaging the other plants. Pruning is when it's for its own sake.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Here you're cutting it down flat. You're cutting this down flat to the ground. Pruning means this is going to grow better after I cut it.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing's grown now. The Rashi's second explanation is that it's where there's a kilayim concern from these other plants that are in that area. Two different explanations. Next, he says in the Mishnah, Mipnei Beis HaAvel and Mipnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash. Because of concern, you need a place for people to sit, to be Menachem Avel, to comfort the mourner, to give Birchas Avelim, if you remember from the Gemara at the beginning of Ksuvos. Or you need a place for people to sit and learn Torah.
Yeah.
Right? Like discussed in the Gemara in Shabbos about clearing a space, or the Gemara in Beitza, clearing a space for people to learn. So these are both because of Tzarech Mitzvah. You need it for mitzvah use. You can also cut back this grain. But in these cases, you're not supposed to tie them up and make them into nice big tied up bundles. You just leave them as tzivasim, which are bunches that are not tied up. And that's talking about the tzarach mitzvah cases here, as we'll see in the Gemara. Next, the Mishnah says, Mitzvah ha'omer lavo min ha'kama. The omer is supposed to come from the kama, the standing grain, by which we mean you cut it when you're ready to use it for the omer. Don't cut it in advance for other purposes and then say, well, I guess this is going to be for the Omer. In other words, as Rashi explains, you need Katsira Lishma. You have to cut it for the sake of the Omer. This is Lechatchila. Lo Matza Yavi Min Omer. But if you don't find grain to cut, then you can bring from existing sheaves. Mitzvasa Lava Min Alach. It should come from the moist, fresh grain. Remember we said Carmel, Rach and Malay, soft and full. Lo Matza Yavi Yavish. But if you don't have that, then you can bring dried. Mitzvah so liktzor balayli, you're supposed to cut it that night, as we've discussed, the second night of Pesach. Niktzor bayom kosher, but if you cut it by day, it's still kosher. And finally, v'docha es haShabbos, it overrides Shabbos, as we've already seen. Okay. The Gemara takes us back into this discussion about Katsira, about harvesting the from a species for, or well, let's see, let's just do it in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to walk us through a problem. The pasuk I brought you on your sheet says, "Uktzartem es Katsira, vaveisem es omer eshis Katsirchem el hakohen." That makes it sound like you can do your harvest before you bring the omer, right? "Uktzartem es Katsira," you're going to harvest it, you're going to cut it down, and then you'll bring the omer. So why do I have a problem at all? My problem is the second half of the pasuk, which says "Reishis Kitzirchem," the first of your cutting. So is it the first of my cutting, or is it after I've done my cutting? That's my problem. I have two different ways I can take the pasuk. So Tanya, the Braisa says, Rabbi Binyamin Omer, Kasevachad Omer, Kasevachemes Kitzirah, Vavesemes Omer. On the one hand, the pasuk says, you shall cut it, you shall cut, you do your cutting, and then you bring the Omer. Rashi says, Demash Mashiach Olitzar Kodem Avasa Omer. It sounds like I can do my cutting first. Uchsiv, but on the other hand, the pasuk says, Reishis Kitzirchem, El HaKohen. The first of your cutting goes to the Kohen. Okay, it's not how so. Mimak, so he says, it's not to teach me about chronology, chronological order, rather is to teach me mimakom she'ata mevi i'ata kotzer, mimakom she'ata mevi i'ata kotzer. It's about location, and this goes back to the point in the Mishnah about what I may cut beforehand. If it's growing in an area from which I'm not supposed to bring the omer, even lechatchil, like the beis hashlach in the irrigated area, then I'm allowed to cut it before the omer. It's only that which is eligible for the Omer that should not be cut until I actually bring the Omer. Right, so from here, it sounds like I'm okay even without Hefsid. I believe that the reason we need Hefsid also is because it's a Dirabanan then without this. In other words, Del Reis, I can't do it from an air, from this area. But as long as the area is ineligible, I could do it, Del Raisa. However, Midrabanan, we don't want you cutting it because of what it's going to cause. People are not going to recognize, oh, here he can cut, here he can't cut. And they might, or they might come to eat it, which we're not permitting pre-Omer. Right? Even if I'm permitting cutting from the areas that are not Omer eligible, I'm not permitting eating. So therefore, Midrabanan is also, unless there's a Hefsid concern. I think that would be the way to take it. So, Ema, the Gemara says, Mimin sha'ata mevi i'ata kotzer, Mimin sha'ata mevi i'ata kotzer. Once you're telling me that there are some things I'm allowed to cut and some things I'm not allowed to cut, why do you make it about the space from which the omer could be brought? Make it based on minim. The omer is barley. So why not say, barley may not be cut before the omer? That's reishis kitzirchem. However, other species may be cut. I can cut wheat before the omer.
Isn't the omer, what's the difference?
Sorry, isn't the omer what?
I thought it was wheat.
No, Omer is barley. Omer is barley. Omer is barley. We said it yesterday or the day before in the Gemara. Yeah, Omer is barley. Trust me.
What's the difference between these two ways of learning?
The difference is that the first one says it's about the location. In other words, according to the first approach, I would be allowed to cut barley that's growing in Beis HaShlachim. According to the second approach, I can't cut any barley. It's about the botanical species. That would be the difference. Yeah, that's the idea. If you don't like my line on it, Alan, you can look in Rashi. He says it too. The she'iyata mevi atakotzer chitin v'kusmiv shibol shul v'shifon. It was everything but barley.
Second day Pesach.
Well, no. What he's saying is you would be allowed to cut it any time before the omer. But the omer is barley born on the second day of Pesach. Yeah.
I mean, there's no chitin in the time of the omer.
Right, you're assuming you actually have something to cut.
Yeah,
right. So he says, but remember, we talk about having Bikurim available before Pesach. Where are your Bikurim? What are you going to have for Bikurim? Well, maybe there it's other fruit. Maybe you have other fruit that goes earlier. True fruit you do not have at that point. But anyway, he says, Ahu lo matziz amrit. He says, don't say that. You can't say that other species may be caught pre-Omer. Mid Rabbi Yochanan, because we already know that from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who told us the other day that the prohibition against any having the grain before the Omer is any species that will be good for matzah. Right? We had the Lechem-Lechem Association. Anything that's good for matzah is not to be had before the Omer. So that's not what this is to teach me. Rather, this is only meant to teach me that if it's from a location that's eligible for use for the Omer, it may not be cut before the Omer midi Oraisa. Good. We now get to the Anshei Yericho. So we said in the Mishnah that the people of Yericho cut Beritzon Chachamim and piled it up, Shalom Beritzon Chachamim, but the Chacham did not protest. So the Gemara wants to know who is it that's keeping track of when the Chachamim protested and when they did not. Man Shamalei De'amar Michu V'lo Michu. Who is it who discusses their protest or non-protest? Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda k'tzira da'anshe yiricho v'ritzon chachamim havoi? Did Rabbi Yehuda really believe that when the chacham, that when they cut it, the chum allowed that? V'atan, or they were not even allowed it, they were okay with it? V'atanya, the Brisa says, shisha devarim asu anshe yiricho. Remember this from Brachos? There were six things the anshe yiricho did. Shlosha, actually no, sorry, the Brachos one is chizkiya. The sixth is psachim. Right, shisha devarim asu anshe yiricho. Six things anshe yiricho did. Shlosha b'ritzon chachamim, shlosha shelo b'ritzon chachamim. Three that the chachamim liked, three that they did not like. Ve'elusha b'ritzon chachamim. The following are the ones they did like. Markivin dekalim kol hayom. On Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, they permitted grafting palm trees all day long. They said that's not real malacha, such that it will be asur on Erev Pesach. Ve'korchen es shema. They were korech Shema. Korech Shema, there are two different explanations of this that are brought in the Gemara and Pesachim. Rashi here only brings you one. One approach is that when they said Shema, they ran Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad right into the Avdas Hashem Elokecha. They did not pause. I think they must have said Baruch Shem, but I don't know that. But they didn't pause in between Shema and Ve'ahavta. That's one approach there. The other approach is that they said Hayom al Levavecha straight. They didn't pause after Hayom. The reason why I wouldn't like the latter one is mentioned there. The concern is because if you say Hayom al Levavecha, these mitzvos are Hayom al Levavecha today on your heart. It sounds like tomorrow they're not obligatory. It's only Hayom, not Machar. What's the concern with Shema right into the Ahavta? So the Shemi Shmuel and Shoftim says that it's because the first line of Shema is about accepting Hashem as king intellectually. Whereas the next line is V'ahavta, you should love Hashem, that's with your heart. And your heart shouldn't always follow your mind without questioning. Sometimes you have to question the conclusions of your intellect too. So therefore you should pause after Hashem Echad before you go into V'ahavta. Yeah, there's more to say on that, but that's enough for that for right now. We have a lot to see on Amud Beis. So the second thing that they did the Chacham were okay with was Korchen es Shema. Or right now it sounds like they're okay with it. They're going to backtrack in a moment. And then third, V'kotzrin lefnei ha'omer, they cut before the Omer, and that was Biritzon Chachamim. The Chachamim were okay with that. Even though we said before that they would come out and find the markets of Yerushalayim that were filled with produce and all that, and that was Shalom Biritzon Chachamim, Rashi explains that that's because they were doing all the processes. They were okay with the cutting. The problem was with the things that came after the cutting. So those three are the chachamim are all right with. Bertzon chachamim. Ve'elu shelo bertzon chachamim. The following were not what the chachamim wanted them to do. Godshin lefnei omer. They would pile up the grain. Umatirin gamzios shel hektish shachar v'shel shikma. If people had trees that were dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, carob trees and sycamore trees, which were usually used for their wood, so they would say, you know what, people only dedicated the branches, but the core, the trunk, is not hektish, and people can go use the trunk for themselves. Upartzin, if you want to see Rashi on that, it's printed on Amud Beis. Upartzin pirtos beganosehen ubepardososehen lahachil nesher la'aniyim b'shnei batzaros b'shabasos b'yomtovim divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says the sixth thing was that they would make gaps in their hedges around their gardens and orchards. That's a good thing because they wanted the poor to be able to eat in years of famine. Hang on. But the problem was that they would let the poor come in to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov from the stuff at the base of the tree. And the concern was if you're going to eat the fruit that's at the base of the tree, you're going to have to climb the tree to pick more fruit. You won't recognize what's Asr and what's Mutter. So that's the concern for that. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, to which Rabbi Yehuda replies, he says, no. If that's true, the Chacham were okay with this, and everybody should do these things, those first three. Korchen es Shema, doing the palm trees, cutting before the Omer. What do you mean, the people of Yericho specifically? Ela elu ve'elu shelo b'ritzon chachamim. Rather, the Chacham didn't like any of these things. On the first three, they didn't protest. On the latter three, they did protest. Ve'elu shelo michu b'yadam. Here are the ones on which they did not protest. I'm sorry, it's not as even as the first three, last three. But three of them they protested, three they did not. Markivin de Kalam Kalayom, doing the palm trees on Erev Pesach, Vekorchen es Shema, doing the Shema, whichever way we approach it, Vekotzin, Vigotzin, Lefnea Omer, and cutting and piling pre Omer, those are the ones, that's Ve'elu Shalom Michu B'yadam. That's the ones that the Chacham didn't protest, but they didn't like it. Here are the ones where they protested. Top of Amud Beis. Matirin gamziel shel hekdesh shel charev shel shigma. They took the wood from these trees. Uportzin pirtzas beganoseinu upartasasen kedei lahachol neshel aniyim b'shnei batzaros v'shabbosos v'yavim tovim. They let the poor collect the produce from the base of the trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The nosnin peya leyerek. And then we add a new item. They left peya for vegetables where peya should not apply. Why does that matter? Because peya is pater from truman meiser. So people who collect that peya are going to be using tevel. So for those the chachamim protested, those michu biyada umichu biyadam, those the chachamim protested. End of quote. So here's my problem. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who keeps track of where the chachamim protested and where they didn't. In our Mishnah, you said that they did not that they were happy about cutting, just not about piling. Here, you said they're not happy even about the cutting. So that's my objection. Rabbi Yehuda is inconsistent, to which the Gemara says, that's your only problem. V'li tamech, on the fifth line, V'li tamech, shisha, according to you, it's only six. Shiva havu is actually seven on the list, because you now included this seventh item about peah for Yerek. And Kotsman and Gochin are two separate items. So what are you to do with that? Ela sami mikan katsira. The answer is that cutting doesn't belong on the list in Rabbi Yehuda's final version. Cutting wasn't on the list, and that way we've solved both of our problems. Okay. We said you can cut for fodder and feed it to the animals. Rabbi Yehuda said you can do it if it's before one-third growth, if that's when you start. And Rabbi Shimon said no. He said you can do it the entire time. Important to remember as we walk into this, I put it on your sheet, because it's going to dictate where we go with this. We're defining what is called an act of cutting for two separate halachos. Number one, if something is an act of cutting, then you know what? I wrote on my sheet a big mistake. I made a big mistake on that sheet. If an act of cutting is called harvesting, then it may not be done before the Omer. Not it may be done before the Omer, it may not be done before the Omer. That's kind of a big mistake, so correct that, please. That's number one. It may not be done before the Omer. And number two, if an act of cutting is called harvesting, then it does not interrupt a field for peah. That is correct. Meaning, if I'm cutting a field in a destructive way, then on either side I have two separate fields for peah purposes. But if the act of cutting I'm doing right now is just harvesting, then it's just the beginning of my harvest. It doesn't make an interruption for peah purposes between that which is on either side of it. Those are the two things that you need to know in order to make heads or tails of our Gemara. So, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ve'elu mafsikin lepeah. The following types of interruptions in a field are interruptions as far as peah is concerned. So you'll separate peah from either side individually. Remember, peah is done at the end of your harvest. So when I finished harvesting one side, I left peah there. When I finished harvesting the other side, I left peah there. Hanachal. A nachal is a river, possibly a ravine. Vahashlulis, or an area of water runoff from rain. V'derech hayachid, a private path, which is a minimum of 4 amos wide. V'derech harabim, a public path, which is a minimum of 16 amos wide. Ushvil harabim, or a path that's not really a road, it's a little less formal, that's used by the community. Ushvil hayachid, or a narrower private path. Hakavua b'mozachama b'mozachishamim, assuming it's there both in the summertime and in the rainy season, as opposed to the ones where you didn't want people going through in the rainy season because it's going to disrupt your field, not to mention ruin their boots. Vahabur, as well as an area that's been left boor, that's been left fallow, it hasn't even been plowed. Vahanir, or a field that's been plowed. I'm sorry, the boor is when it's plowed and not planted. The nir is the one that's planted. Vizera acher, or if there's another type of plant growing there. All of these constitute interruptions within your field. New peah calculations. Those don't matter for us. What matters for us is the next line. V'kotzer l'shachas mafsik divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's position is that if you cut for the sake of fodder, I'm calling it fodder, but it's not really. But if I cut at less than one-third growth, then that also counts as an interruption. In other words, it's not called harvesting. This is what I called case number one in your table. Rabbi Meir says it's not called harvesting if you cut for shachas. And therefore, it's going to be a hefsik for peah. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Mafsik Elam Kin Chorash. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say it's not called an interruption It is called harvesting unless you plow that area afterwards. Now it's a real bona fide interruption in the field. You plowed it over. So, yes, correct. Correct. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, citing Rabbi Yochanan, first take on understanding Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Shimon Amra. Rabbi Meir was following the view of Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah in case number two. Rabbi Shimon there said it's not called an act of harvesting if you're doing it for the animals. So I'll say Rabbi Meir here is the same. He's following Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said you could always feed it to the animals even if it's more than one third grown. He believes as long as you're cutting for shachas, it's not called harvesting and therefore it is an interruption for peya. Yasif Rabba Ukamar Lala Hashmaisa. Rabba was retelling this lesson. Esme Rav Acha Barhuna La Rava. But Rav Acha Barhuna challenged this idea, asking Rava, I learned the following case, the natural disaster case, column number 3, where Rabbi Meir is going to say the following. Achla Chagav. If locusts come along, grasshoppers come along and eat the produce. Rashi says they eat the top of the grain. Kersamua nemalim, or the grain is eaten away by the ants, in which case they eat the base of the grain. Shvarasu ruach, the wind came along and broke the grain. Hakol modim, everybody agrees. Charash mafsik lo charash eno mafsik, that if you plow it over, then it's a hefsek for peya. If you don't plow it over, then it's not a hefsek for peya. In other words, the natural disasters can still be called an act of harvesting as long as you don't plow. That's the assumption. It says hakol modim. Everybody agrees. Natural disasters are called an act of harvesting. So hakol modim man. When you say everybody agrees, who is everybody? Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir talking. Well, wait a minute. I have a problem. Because Rabbi Meir, in our discussion about cutting for shachas, said cutting for shachas is not harvesting. But on the natural disaster, he says, that is harvesting. That's a conflict. I would have assumed that they would at least be equal, but it's more likely that cutting for shachas will be harvesting, where I actually went out there with a sickle and I cut things. It's more likely that that's harvesting than the natural disasters are harvesting. So why is it the natural disasters are a harvest, but cutting for shachas is not? That's my fundamental challenge here. So he says, if you're going to tell me there are two different cases, that the Mishnah in Peya is talking about b'shaloi v'yashlish, okay, where it's one third, where it's less than one third. So column one is where it's less than one third. And Brisa, decharash in, lo charash lo, this Brisa about the natural disasters is bishahevi shlish, it's talking about where it already is one third grown, then you're fine. That's one way to resolve the problem. But if you're going to tell me that his statement about kotzer l'shachas is even when it reaches one third, then hashta umah hasam diktsira de adam, it should say. Amar Rabbi Meir lo shma ktsira, when it came to a person doing the cutting, you said that doesn't count as cutting. Hacha lo kol shekein. By the natural disaster, it certainly doesn't count as an act of harvesting. You have a conflict. So he says, one possible approach, and that's what I put on your table as Gemara, is to say that column one, Rabbi Meir is talking about less than a third, and he says that's not harvesting because you're nothing. You're cutting. You're clear cutting. There's nothing there. And the natural disasters, he says, is an act of harvesting because it's where it's already one third grown. That's fine. I keep calling it a natural disaster, but you have your grain, so it's not such a disaster. It's not that the ants undercut it and then carried it off. It's still there for you. But Ella, rather, the Gemara says, I have another approach. You know what the approach is. Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara. Rabbi Meir actually was following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda? Da'amar, because Rabbi Yehuda said, E Masai. Rabbi Yehuda's position was it's not an act of harvesting if it's less than one third. It is an act of harvesting and therefore usher before the Omer if you do it after it has already reached one third, if that's when you start. So I'll say Rabbi Meir is following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Amer deshamet le Rabbi Yehuda lebehema. That's fine if you say that. That Rabbi Yehuda said, that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where you're cutting it, not that's fine. Rabbi Yehuda made the statement only where you cut for shachas and you feed it to the animals. That was his language. He said explicitly in our Mishnah, and I made a point of it, kotzel shachas umachil behema. Rabbi Meir, in his discussion, never used the words umachil behema. So Rabbi Yehuda lebehema. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about by animals. La'ada mishamet le. Would Rabbi Yehuda make the same statement about cutting for people? De'im kain. If so, if that's really true, then Avalut Lasa Tanoi. Then Rabbi Yehuda actually is disagreeing with the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. I made a point when we read the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda said, Amasai, when is this true? He's agreeing with the Tanakhama. He's not disagreeing. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda says this even when you're cutting for human use, then the Tanakhama is by animals. Rabbi Yehuda is by humans. And Rabbi Shimon is disagreeing with both of them and saying it isn't about the before 1/3, after 1/3 split. You have three Tanoim in our Mishnah. That's no good. So he says, you can't take it this way. Again, our problem that we're trying to resolve is that you wanted to associate Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Shimon, and I can't make that work. Because Rabbi Shimon does not distinguish between pre-1/3 and post-1/3. And if so, Rabbi Meir doesn't distinguish between pre-1/3 and post-1/3, and then I don't understand the difference between his stance on cutting for shachas and his stance regarding natural disasters. Where natural disasters, it is called harvesting, and cutting for shachas, it's not. So our first approach was to dump Rabbi Shimon. We said, okay, drop Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir really does distinguish between pre-1/3 and post-1/3. Pre-1/3, like he said by Shachas, it's not an act of harvesting. Post-1/3, like the natural disaster, it is an act of harvesting. That's Rabbi Meir's position. But then who does he follow? He's not following Rabbi Shimon. So we wanted to say he's following Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, distinguishes between pre- and post-1/3. But if you're going to fit him with Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was disagreeing with the Tanakhama. And that's not what it sounded like. It sounded like he was explaining the Tanakhama. Ella, rather, third and last part, Ella ki asa Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Rabbi Meir b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabo Amar. Rabbi Meir was following the view of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe. Da'af la'adam. Nami lohavya kitzira. Rabbi Akiva, in fact, says that it's not called harvesting if it's less than 1/3, even if you cut it for a person's use. Disnan, as the Mishnah says, hamenamer sade. If you're cutting a field in lines, right? A namer is a leopard in spots. So you're cutting a field in portions. Vishir bo kalachim lachim, and you leave some growing. They're still moist stems. They haven't yet grown as much as they need to grow. Rabbi Akiva Omer peyalochol echad v'yachad. Rabbi Akiva says, at each stage you have to separate peyah, because he says it's not called an act of harvesting. That's the point. The Chacham Omer meyachad alakom. The Chacham say, no, it is an act of harvesting, and therefore you do one payah for everything. The Amrav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, and Rabbi Yehuda said, citing Shmuel, that this is like shachas. Lochiev Rabbi Akiva ela b'menamer leklayos. Rabbi Akiva said, you only have to separate all these separate payos if you're doing it for klayos. You're doing it for burning the grain. Ela b'menamer leotzer lo. Not if you're planning on storing it so that it's grown fully. So you have this idea that if you're cutting it for klayos, which means pre-1/3, that's the idea. If you're doing it for klayos, it's pre-1/3, then the law is one way. If you're doing it la'otzer, then it's post-1/3, and then the law is going to be different. So the idea is, I have a source for Rabbi Meir to actually distinguish between pre-1/3 and post-1/3. The answer is, it is Rabbi Akiva, and that's going to satisfy me then that Rabbi Meir can be made to work. Rabbi Meir can be consistent. You want to know how it was that Rabbi Meir said that natural disasters are considered an act of harvesting? That's if it's 1/3 grown. You want to know how he said that cutting for shachas is not an act of harvesting? That's pre-1/3. And he's just like Rabbi Akiva. To which the Gemara says, Ini, is that really true though? Vaki asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev Rabbi Akiva Afim and Amar La'otzar. We have Ravin coming from Eretz Yisrael disagreeing and saying that Rabbi Akiva said you are liable for separate payah even if you do it for otzar, even if it's after 1/3. To which the answer is, Savar Lakavase Bechada Upalagale Bechada. Rabbi Meir followed Rabbi Akiva only on one of his points, but not on both of his points, and he did make this distinction between Lo Avi Shlish and Avi Shlish. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.